Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome to the Q's Militia Podcast with those two unapologetically biased orange-blooded homers, Sean and Joe.
What's up, Q's Nation? Thanks for tuning in to the Q's Militia Podcast with Sean and Joe. If you like it, please share it. The universal handle for the socials is at Q's Militia. Go there, join the militia. We are the only Syracuse sports podcast centered around giving you the fans' voice. So welcome. Happy Wednesday. We appreciate everybody who has endured coming back to 3 days in a row of this nonsense. But the good thing is there's actually stuff to talk about again today. So as slow as the sport, a little bit.
Coronavirus, right?
No. Well, not that. That's not real. Oh boy, that would have been a big misspeak right there.
Yeah, I know, right? My county's down in lockdown now.
Is it? Did we mention yesterday you and I are both essential workers? You got your card, you said, right?
Yeah, I got the paperwork today. You got the paperwork, yeah, okay.
So anyway, we got legitimate things to talk about, not just filler stuff. Try to talk about the coronavirus the least amount as possible, I think. But obviously, we're going to have Tyler on in the next segment after the news, and obviously we'll see how he's faring there in Texas. I think they just kind of restricted things just a couple days ago. So we will talk with him. And I don't really have an agenda for Tyler, but we're just going to kind of wing it. And it's kind of what we've been doing anyway. So I figure, why the hell not just keep doing it? I don't know. Whatever. Let's go. So before we get into all of that stuff, you know, they are letting criminals out of jail, like just straight out of jail because of this coronavirus thing. Now they say nonviolent, right? Well, what does that mean for you and me? I don't know yet, but I'll tell you what. There's something you can do. It's a company called Simply Safe. Now, with home security, there's two ways you can go about protecting your home. There's the traditional way where you wait weeks for a technician to do a messy installation and that costs a small fortune. Or there's the other way. That's the Simply Safe way. Simply Safe is everything you need in a home security system. It's award-winning protection. Two-time winner of the CNET Editor's Choice Award, Simply Safe blankets your whole home in safety. You get comprehensive protection for your entire home. Outdoor cameras and doorbells alert you to anyone approaching the home. Entry, motion, and glass break sensors, the best in the business, all of those guard the inside. You barely notice it's there, but what's best about Simply Safe is you install it yourself. There's no one in your house doing it, and anyone can do it, just about. It takes up to maybe an hour tops, usually around 30, 45 minutes, and there's absolutely no trade-offs for your safety, so you'll have an army of highly trained experts ready to be dispatched to your home at a moment's... Actually, the security experts are not going to be dispatched to your home. What is dispatched to your home is the police. They do that, though. So, they're important. And they'll dispatch the police to your home at a moment's notice 24/7, and it's only 50 cents a day with no contracts. That's the best part. That's why The Verge calls Simply Safe the best home security system. Go to simplysafe.com/team today. That's simplisafe.com/team today, and you'll get free shipping and a 60-day free trial. You've got nothing to lose. Go now. Be sure to go to simplysafe.com/team. That's simplysafe.com/team. Thank you, Simply Safe. Okay, well, so there's one off the radar and one on the radar as far as any kind of Syracuse basketball prospects go in the transfer portal. So there was Let's see. Columbia grad transfer, 6'10", 220-pound forward, Patrick Tape, who...
I think it's Tape, but...
Tape, whatever. Tape, I speak American. So...
Okay. not even Tape, not even a language.
Tape, 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 whatever. It's spelled T-A-P-E. I didn't see an accent above it. Otherwise, I'd have questioned it. Anyway, he chose Duke. So he's averaging 11.3 points a game. Yeah, Duke come in late, swept him up. 11.3 points a game, 5.9 rebounds a game. But let's see, there was something in Inside the Loud House that was...
Well, who's the guy that's not...
Oh, well, the guy that's available?
Yeah.
Joshua Morgan, 6'9", 229-pound forward, and he's a prospect of Syracuse. There was a tweet, I saw this at Inside the Loud House, and it referenced this tweet by at Jake Weingarten. Long Beach State transfer Joshua Morgan has heard from UCLA, USC, Arizona State, San Diego State University, St. Mary's, USF, Arkansas, Oregon State, Washington State, Oregon, Syracuse, and Texas. I'm just throwing it out there because it's news. But he averaged 8.6 rebounds with the 49ers. 8 points and six rebounds with the 49ers. So
the only difference between this guy and Patrick Tape was that he was a graduate senior. This guy would have to sit out a year, normal transfer, for 2 years eligibility, I believe. So he would have to sit out next year. So getting this forward wouldn't help for this next year anyway. And it would be just for the future and after, Dolezal's gone, Sidibe's gone. But again, after this next incoming recruiting class, then you're talking about D'Ara Johnson's class. And we've talked about how he's got some bigger recruits he's trying to get here. So, if all those big names are going after this guy, though, and it's just, we have the roster space and we know that he could help us in the future. I mean, getting this guy, letting him sit out and get adjusted to Syracuse and then come in when needed 2 years from now might not be a bad little thing to do.
Yeah. So anyway, we'll keep an eye on it, I guess. Is there a deadline for transfers? Do you know what it is? I'm sure there's a deadline. When is it?
I don't know the exact date, so I'm not even going to speculate.
Okay.
But they have some time.
Matthew Moyer was, he transferred to Vanderbilt. What was it? It was the year before last year, right?
Right.
And now he's transferring again to George Washington. So, just for,
Yeah.
He didn't get a whole lot of playing time at Vanderbilt. I mean, he didn't get a whole lot of time playing at Syracuse either. It was kind of limited. He had one really good game against UConn, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. One of those, was it a tournament game or was it one of the Big East Challenge? Was it something like that? Something along those lines, right?
I just think it was just a preseason game played at Madison Square Garden, I believe.
Really?
Or not preseason, non-conference. Sorry, my bad.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
it was definitely a season game. But anyway, there was an article in Inside the Loud House again talking about how BJ Johnson was really, his success as a transfer was kind of an anomaly. And, basically saying that what you see is what you get. And guys, most of the time, they transfer for a reason. If they're not getting playing time, there's a reason for that.
Well, yeah. And again, I think that was more of a kind of calm down and kind of take it easy about, the transfers and who we're losing and everything. I mean, I understand losing three like that doesn't look good. And obviously, Carey was a high recruit. Gedeon looked like he had some promise. But if you go by the scoreboard of the transfers that have left versus the transfers that have come in. Again, more times than not, the transfers that left have shown, why. If you go all the way back to, I remember Chinoso Oboko, DeShante Riley, Ron Patterson.
Yeah.
You know.
DeShante Riley, yeah.
So down to the Matthew Moyers. I mean, it's just, yeah, who else? Caleb Joseph was another one, right? So transfers happen, but none of those guys really blew up. Now, B.J. Johnson, he transferred to B.J. Johnson transferred to LaSalle and had a great 2 years. He had averaged 17 points and then 20 points as a junior and senior, respectively. And he actually, I want to say he got drafted in the NBA draft in the second round, but he's been in and out from D League to NBA. And yeah. But if you compare that to transfers we've brought in, like a John Gillen, an Andrew White, right? Michael Benajay, Elijah Hughes.
Yeah, that's pretty, actually, it's a pretty good point. There's been some pretty successful, even though the year with White and Gillen wasn't exactly what we wanted as Syracuse fans, they gave us some very magical moments.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Seriously. I won't forget that season, you know, and I mean, that ended up losing what we had, an NIT loss in the first round to Ole Miss or something like that. So, you're not going to remember that season for that.
You're going to remember.
I'm never going to forget the
John Gillen beating Duke.
John Gillen beating Duke, but I was also in PNC Arena down here in NC State when John Gillen scored 40
points. Was it 40 or 43? 40
something points, and we ended up coming back and beating NC State. That was a pretty awesome game too.
He was awesome. He really was.
So I mean, it's basically just to kind of calm down the fans out there that want to call for the, you know, Jim Boeheim to go and look at what the state of the program. I mean, there's always been transfers. And usually we actually have more transfers that leave that actually come in. So it's happened all the way back from Mike Jones. You never heard of him again. So
yeah, there's probably 100 you can go over from back in the day. It's so hard to remember all these back, you know.
Oh God. Yeah.
So anyway,
yeah, Louis McCroskey, Tony Bland.
All right, what else? What else we got? All over the place. What else we got? We got Kai Milner. Do you want to save that for
Kai Milner? Yeah, I did see that today. I actually read that. That was with 247 Sports, correct?
Yep. You want to save it for Tyler?
Yeah, we can save the football stuff for Tyler. Yeah, yeah, we can do that.
Okay. Well, we'll have to have something to talk to him about, right? So, all right, well, we will talk about that. We'll discuss that with Tyler, and we will bring Tyler on here in just a minute. But first, let me tell you about LinkedIn. The perfect hire can have an impact on your business for years to come. So when you need to find the next person to help you grow your business, LinkedIn Jobs will match the right talent with your open role fast. LinkedIn has over 675 million members worldwide. LinkedIn Jobs screens candidates with the hard and soft skills you're looking for so you can hire the right person fast. Things like collaboration, creativity, adaptability. LinkedIn looks beyond the work skills and puts your job post in front of qualified candidates who match your business requirements perfectly. That's how LinkedIn makes sure your job post is seen by the people you want to hire. People with skills, qualifications, and other interests that will help your business grow. It's no wonder a person on LinkedIn is hired every 8 seconds, and why companies rated LinkedIn Jobs the number one hiring platform for delivering quality hires. Find the right person for your business today with LinkedIn Jobs. You can pay what you want and get the first $50 off. Just visit LinkedIn.com/team. Again, that's LinkedIn.com/team and get $50 off your first job post. Terms and conditions apply.
Yeah.
I join us now, former Syracuse defensive end and in limbo podcaster, maybe, Tyler Morona. Tyler, what's up, buddy?
I think the in limbo part can kind of go, unfortunately. Which
is, really? We're holding hope.
I got a new job, man. I've got something to do. Well, that directly ties in with football.
I know what you're doing, but it's been a while since you've been on the show. And so, you know, we talk now and then. We text and stuff back and forth. We had a little group text going for a while. So just where we BS on and razz each other. But what have you been up to, brother?
So a lot actually has been kind of transpiring since I ended my show that was the Trademark Podcast. But when that thing went to bed, that was good because I had something to do. And shortly thereafter, I went to go work for Houston Baptist University football. I spent the spring, or at least the spring semester, working with them as a defensive analyst, helping them out in spring ball. We got through most of our practices before the virus came through and ended the last week. So we really only missed three practices, which is 1 week of practice on the field. And so I got in a bunch of practices working with the defense. Coach Sheely, Coach Vic Sheely is the head coach over there. I wanted to thank him for giving me that opportunity to go work with them. And Coach Mills is the defensive coordinator over there. And again, I was working with him directly, basically as his assistant, breaking down tape and helping him out with his job, making sure that everything that he does was a lot easier for him as a result of me being there. And but since that time of being there in basically January through a couple weeks ago, I got a full-time offer to be a high school coach at St. Thomas High School here in Houston, Texas. And so I'll be doing that. And I'll actually be doing something I've been wanting to do since I was a kid, which is coach offense. And I'm really looking forward to contributing in the run and pass game of our offense at St. Thomas High School. So really? I can't be more fired up for what I'm going to do. I play defense. I love defense, but for me, it's like, I can't coach defense. I don't know what it is. Like, I played it. I'm all out, but I see things through a defensive lens. So I think if I can, coach offense and see things through defense, and hopefully I can, you know, use my talents to, you know, from what I see as far as a defender, you know, kind of neutralize that on the offense.
Sure. How to read defense. And that's obviously a huge asset to an offense. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, that's awesome, dude. Congratulations. So
thanks, man.
It's something to build off of, right?
What was that?
Something to build off of. You're on solid ground. You got a good, you know.
Oh yeah.
Absolutely. So
now, can I ask you a question? So
go ahead.
How long has it been since you've been named the head coach there, or you took that job?
So definitely not head coach. I would say I'm closer to an offensive coordinator.
Oh, okay.
At St. Thomas, there is a head coach. His name is Coach Rich McGuire. He went to bat for me multiple times because the thing about high school is that to be honest, I think I got my offer letter there. My original start date was today. I was supposed to start today, but with the virus, that got pushed back until the 13th of April. Texas has been a little bit more lenient on what's been going on with the virus. So, and especially at a, you know, private Catholic school, everybody's going to be quarantined and all that stuff. So I think we will be able to come back and contribute, in spring ball and whatnot. But, it's been about I wouldn't even say 2 weeks since I got this job. So really between the time that folks last heard from me, I was at Houston Baptist all the way until basically a week ago, and when that full-time job just came out of nowhere. And the thing about high school is that you can't make a living wage just being a high school football coach. I think I'm going to get a couple thousand to be the coach, you know, a coach at St. Thomas. In high school, you only get paid to be the head man. And there's going to be a couple years before I become a head coach there. So I really want to thank the administration for bringing me on as another administrator, you know, to have a day job and to make money and all that stuff and support my family. Right. So that's kind of the other piece of the pie that's been really awesome for me, because I've been trying for about 2 years now to get a job like that. And Coach McGuire, the head coach at St. Thomas, went to bat for me and said that, you know, hey, this kid is really talented. He can, you know, he can do it and all that stuff. So it's been really cool that I basically have my dream job as a 25-year-old.
Yeah, that's awesome. That was kind of answered my question, because I was going to ask you if you had been able to get to the school and possibly meet some of your players or see kind of you know, what was coming in and everything like that. But with everything with the COVID-19 and everything, and obviously the other part was going to ask about how that is affecting your day-to-day life down there. I don't know too much about Texas. Me and Sean, we're both, you know, border states with Virginia and North Carolina. And both in a situation where it's like only essential travel, and we both have the whole essential job. So we still got to go to work and all that. But it's definitely, you know, changing the everyday. And I just didn't know if it was the same thing down there in Houston.
It's been interesting, man. It's Houston's been more, or Texas has been more of like a day-to-day type of situation as opposed to like a week-to-week thing. I'm trying to think of how else like I can describe it, but the benefit for me was that while I was at Houston Baptist, they were recruiting St. Thomas players. So I watched all of the St. Thomas film being a Houston Baptist coach. So I know all the guys that we have on our roster because we were trying to offer all of them. Okay. And so Houston Baptist is a FCS level school or a 1AA level school. So they had to kind of be really smart about how they, you know, send their offers out. But all the guys
they have limited offers, correct?
Yeah, way limited.
Yeah, so like Syracuse, are a Division I school, has 85.
Yep.
Houston Baptist has 63. It's like a whole class less than, you know, what a D1A school would have. But so St. Thomas, I was really lucky because I also got to go to campus one day as a HBU coach and go meet all the guys that way. And then we also had junior day at HBU while I was there, which is where we invite all the kids that are kind of coming up through the ranks and get them on campus and see all of them. And I got to meet our quarterback, which is a 6'6", kind of Justin Herbert light type of guy. I think that he can be Colt McCoy if he got the confidence within him to be that, a 6'6 version of that. And so I'm really excited about what I got. I mean, I got a tight end that's going to be a Division I guy, two receivers that are going to be Division I guys, and a Division I quarterback. So, I mean, you tell me what I can do with that. I mean, I think it's going to be the sky's the limit, especially here in Texas.
Oh, yeah.
I think that we play the state – I think we play the reigning state champ week two. So we'll get a good look at what we're going to be. And then hopefully, you know, depending on how that goes, we'll get a good idea of what it's going to be like, you know, here on out. And I definitely see myself feeding at least one kid a year to Syracuse. So
there you go. That's kind of, that would be nice. That'd be nice.
Very nice. I mean, that's my goal. I mean, that's my goal. I've seen that the town.
Does this high school, I mean, obviously you being with Houston Baptist, you've seen other talent around the areas and stuff like that. But as far as the St. Thomas school, because obviously we don't know too much about that, are they like one of those prolific kind of throw Division I guys out there every year, or are they on the up and up? I mean, what division do they play in? You know what I mean? Because in Texas, they're like, I mean, they have so many levels of football up there. It's ridiculous.
They do. And that's kind of the problem is that there's really, well, even in California, too, that's kind of the problem is that it gets muddied so quick with how much is going on. So in Texas, there's 6 through 1A, and then those rankings have like 6A has 6A1, 6A2. So even within 6A to 5A, there's four divisions within those two words.
No, oh, wow.
So, and then private school plays their own division
their own
as
leagues,
well.
Right?
And they have TAPS. And TAPS is like Texas Association of Private Schools. So, so we're TAPS one, which is like the D1 of private schools. And we play at about the 5A2 level, which is essentially like, I don't know, 85% of the top talent of Texas, if that would be comparable. So, so Kyler Murray played at Allen High School, which is like the best school in Texas. And if that's the cream of the crop, then we're about 80 to 85% of that talent level.
Got you.
Yeah.
We send out somebody D1 every year. So not this past year, but the year before, we sent the quarterback to the University of Miami. So that's a big recruit.
Oh, yeah.
And last year we sent a lineman to Louisville and a middle linebacker to Columbia. So, I mean, we have guys, but we're not like, you know, Katy High School, which had Andy Dalton and had, everybody on the team plays D1. If you can start on that team, we're not that, but we're close.
Yeah.
So that's kind of we play at about 80 to 70, 75, maybe, I guess, to 85% of that level we play at, because we do have guys transferring in from those schools that want to go get a better education, set themselves better. So we're kind of, and the big thing for me is that I look for the character of the guys. I know that sounds kind of, you know, cheesy or whatever, but, you know, I'm really looking to go make an impact on the young men's lives and make sure that they know that, you know, whatever mistakes I made or whatever they need help with, that I'm there for them to go help them, not just on the field. because right. mainly I want to win, but that, you know, if they need anything and they need help making college decisions or if they need help getting recruited, that I'll be there for them too. So that's yeah. that's really what I want to make sure of. And nice. I think that there's a couple of fringe guys that we have that I can coach up better than maybe the next guy can just because I was there at that level. Right. And then, you know, instead of being a five Division I scholarship player team, we can be a seven, and then seven turns into 10, and then 10 right. turns into, you know, and then that's kind of,
well, the, you start picking up the pace, and then you want got some guys that want to transfer in, you know, you start getting that, exactly. that traction. Right. So, yeah. yeah. Well, hey man, good luck. And
thanks,
feed the orange some recruits, man, if you can.
I do see a couple guys that we have right now that could potentially be really good fits. I mean, our tight end is really like Aaron Hackett. I mean, it's kind of like a wild overlap. I mean, really crazy. So
nice.
Speaking of talent and everything, we do have a 2021 recruit, another one. This would be the, I mean, we already have one 2021 recruit, but we're looking at Kai Milner. He's a 24 best pro style quarterback in the class 2021, according to 247 Sports. He's got offers from Arizona, Arizona State, Boise State, California, Colorado, Indiana, Iowa State, Michigan State, Washington State, and also Syracuse, as well as others. How big is this guy? I can't find it. Anyone?
6'2", 180. That's the size.
6'2", 180. So we just mentioned this to Tyler quickly. And once he racked his brain with it, he remembered hearing this kid's name before. So we were gonna
which is crazy.
We were gonna talk about it before you got on, just as like part of the news, you know, before we got into talking about our movie bracket, this glorious movie bracket we got that I know Tyler has been paying very close attention to. So
I doubt it.
I've voted on every single one that you put out there.
Did you really?
Because I want to be a part of it. Yeah, okay. Every single one that you put out there, I've been in.
You're the man, Tyler. You make me feel so good. So
I love you.
No, I just appreciate you not banging on my seatings. Like everybody else.
There's a couple in there that I was like,
we're gonna talk about it. We're gonna talk about it. But first, interesting story about Kai Milner, Tyler.
Yeah, so what we kind of hashed out before we went on air was that he has a high school coach that played for the now director of player development, which is, help me out, Joe, Roy Whitkey.
Yep.
Yeah, I think it's Whitkey. And so Coach Babers, what he wants to do is he kind of wants to do what Texas does in a modern way, which is where, like, when a new coach comes into being the Longhorns, UT, Texas football's coaches say, okay, we're putting a wall around Texas, and everybody that we want in the state, we get. That's kind of what every coach is going to want to say. We want to dominate, you know, our home turf and all that stuff. Coach Babers thought about it in the inverse way, which is who has the connection to us and who can help us, even if they don't. If they're not here in New York, if they're not there in California, let's say they're in the Virgin Islands and they got a guy, you know, who cares? As long as they have someone that they can give to us, we want to stay in contact with that person. So Kai Milner has a coach that played for Roy Whitkey back in the day when they were at Eastern Illinois. And so Coach Babers has a spreadsheet of every coach in high school that has a connection to Coach Babers, to Syracuse University, or to the coaching staff. And so when they see a guy that pops up that they like, they scan the database and say, hey, do we know somebody at that school? Because if so, they're going to be loyal to us. And so that what we can do when we see a guy that we really like, and the difference comes down to, is it going to be the hometown school or the school that has, you know, a connection to? Hopefully that will be in that running, because it's definitely hard when you got a guy in Gilbert, Arizona that really likes U of A because it's really close and you know what's going on. And I get it, being a West Coast recruit that went out east. Listen, if USC offered me and it came down between USC and Syracuse, Syracuse was not getting the love. But Syracuse did all that they could before it got to SC giving that offer and then said, we've done everything on our part, so you should choose us based on the fact that we have all the connections that you need that's just like USC. And here's the reasons why that you shouldn't let it get to a USC offer and that you should choose us. And I think that's what Coach Babers is trying to do, you know, here or not, is make sure that he has guys that are in his corner that when something does come up and a national school that should be like Syracuse has the opportunity to go get a guy in Gilbert, Arizona, but they can't.
No, and that's that football La Familia culture that can trickle down, right? Trickle down through the coaching trees, and they can. I mean, if it's real, and like you said, as far as character and as far as you know very well that there's a lot of kids that go to certain colleges that don't get that. That culture is not there. The family and it's down to business, wins, football, and every coach runs it a different way. School runs it a different way. But the one good thing when reading the 247 Sports article that they had on the Syracuse page about Kai Milner was that I guess they used to live in North Carolina. You got a bunch of family that's on his mother's side, I believe, that lives in Ohio. So he's pretty much came out and stated that moving and travel and distance isn't a huge, huge thing for him, which is a positive for us for sure.
Right. And that's the thing is that like when you have somebody in your corner that like knows that little tidbit, that is huge for you, right? Like if you don't have to pay for information or you don't have to pry that out of a recruit, it goes a long way. And then like all of a sudden you just have that information to like kind of go back and forth with the recruit and just being like, hey, you know, is it a big deal for you to move? No. Oh yeah. And that's right. Because your dad, you know, did all this stuff and, or whatever the fact is. And then like all of a sudden now you give yourself like a legit shot at landing a good national recruit, you know, because there's more than just like, hey, we're good, so you should play here. Like there's more to that in college, obviously.
I mean, are you sick of beautiful weather? Come join us in upstate New York. Are you sick of the sun?
I will say Arizona is not beautiful. Arizona is some weird type of like Western, like whatever you see like in a Western movie, that's what Arizona is like. It's like red. Like it looks red outside most days.
Just hot haze, bro.
I mean, I know. My dad lives there.
Spent a lot of time in Phoenix, yeah. My dad spent like I think most of his life in most of his life in California, but he went to high school in Phoenix and
I have a cousin in Yuma. What's Yuma like?
Not great, man. I'll tell you. It's not the best.
Really?
I mean, I don't know. I'm just saying like between Orange County, California and Yuma, Arizona, I think I know which way I'm leaning.
Okay. I gotcha. Fair enough.
I've been to parts of California that look awfully close to Arizona.
Once you get like an hour east of LA, it's basically Arizona from that point until you get to like here.
That's the only California I saw when I traveled to California.
What?
Why did you? It was for work. So it was out in like Ridgecrest, Tehachapi, out in the middle of nowhere. Yeah,
dude, I'm sorry.
Yep.
Very sorry.
Well, dude, I work for an energy company, right? So, and we had some contracts with some. So, I mean, when I flew into LAX, I'm like, oh, this is nice. And then drive out to, and then all of a sudden you're out in the mountains in the desert and you're like, okay.
Furthest west I've been is Bristol, Tennessee.
That's it. You know what the problem is? You know what I always want to say to people? It's like, oh, you know, you should come visit Houston. And then I realized there's nothing to do here. Like, I would say, like, hey, you guys should really come visit. But there is, like, I would feel bad telling you guys to, like, oh, like, make a plan to come out here and visit me when, like, it's not that great. So I can't, like, lead you to, like, a dry river, essentially, you know? So I don't know. I'm trying to figure out how to, like, entice people to come here without actually telling them the truth. I mean, we got bayous, if you like, swamp.
That's true. There are gators in Texas.
All right. So, well, what else?
Did anything you guys else? Ever see that, that picture with the alligator with a knife in its head?
No.
Yeah, that was from Texas.
Was it?
That was actually right up the road. I actually know where that was.
That messed they missed the spot.
Yeah, there's a
exactly.
There's a spot on the alligator's head that's the kill shot. It's like the size of a quarter, and
yeah, and you can do it with. I mean, it's soft enough you can hit him with a 22. That's what they hunt him with.
Yeah,
yeah.
Well, whoever used the knife missed.
Okay. Yeah. I haven't. Well, anyway.
Someone trying out for swamp people.
Yeah. So, anyways, let's do the movie bracket stuff. Okay, we've wasted enough time. All right, Joe.
What do you mean wasted enough time? We're listen, having a conversation.
I know. Sorry. I know. I was listening. I was enthralled. So, yeah. no, I was. Seriously. So we finished up the 90s region. I'm just going to go through these. You guys tell me who you picked. I mean, most of these are really easy to me, to be honest with you. So we'll see.
Since half your 90s movies are trash.
And we'll see. Well, you know, look. So the honest truth about the 90s region was I was looking for what was popular, and then I mixed in ones I liked. So there are some that are, like, not great. Like, The Sixth Sense, it was a good movie, but it's forgettable to me, you know? So, you know, that's why some of those are in there. So, anyways, one seed Forrest Gump against 16 seed Clueless. Tyler, who'd you have there? This is an easy one.
So, real quick, before we go any further, I have to tell you guys that I was born in the 90s, so there's a lot of these movies that are, like, pre my time, like pre my birth.
You're 26, you know. Right?
25. Well, turning 26
okay.
this year.
Okay.
Yeah. But anyway, yeah. In this bracket, I have Forrest Gump, and I have seen Forrest Gump, and I don't care who's on the 16 side. Forrest definitely takes the cake in this regard. That's actually one of my favorite not favorite movies, but that's a really good. But, like, I have nothing bad to say. But, like, it's like a empirically, nothing's wrong with that movie. There's very few movies that are like that.
Yeah.
And that's one I can sit down, and if it's on, I'm like, I'm not turning the channel.
Right.
So.
Right. Yeah. It's one of those you have to watch. Yeah.
And Clueless is only on there because of your wife, Sean. I mean, we've noticed that, or we've said that before. So.
Yeah. Just so you know, Clueless was not on there, and I forget who I removed for Clueless. But when my wife looked through the bracket, she said, what do you mean Clueless isn't on here? What kind of bracket is this? This is horrible. So I was like, all right, fine. I just appeased her with it, and I threw it against Forrest Gump, knowing it wouldn't last long. So.
Yeah. Well, and even though I tried to
tried
to inspire everybody to vote for Clueless at the end of last night's podcast, I voted for Forrest Gump.
Okay. I voted for Forrest Gump, obviously. All right, before we continue, Tyler, I was just curious to know if you had any issues with the seedings, maybe on previous brackets that were put out the past couple of days or anything like that. Something you thought was maybe, you know, underwhelming or probably just an awful matchup.
So I will say this. After looking at the sports region, that's kind of where your eye goes to first and foremost, because it's in the top left. What a loaded bracket. I mean, I can't get over that. I mean, it is so loaded, top to bottom. I mean, to me, again, Mighty Ducks, 16 seed. Oh, my goodness. Like, that is a severe underseeding. Only because, like, that was, like, the first sports movie of my lifetime. So there's a little nostalgia play in there.
Sure.
Happy Gilmore being an 11. I mean, come on. That's one of the greatest comedies of all time.
Sure.
Rocky IV being a 2. There's definitely an argument for 1 there. I mean, there's just a couple things that you could see. But, again,
Days of Thunder?
Let me not dissuade the listeners from understanding what happens. Joe Lunardi time, come bracket. Bracketology, everybody always gets underseeded. Whenever you think it's going to go your way, it never does. So I'm totally fine with that. But the biggest, I guess, kind of oversight, misstep, the one thing I have a problem with, the one thing that hurts my soul, Anchorman being a 15. There's no way. And Dodgeball being a 13. Dodgeball is my number 2 movie of all time, right behind Shawshank Redemption.
Oh, wow.
Number 2 movie of all time. Yes.
Sean hasn't even seen it, so.
No, I saw Shawshank. I didn't see Schindler's List.
Dodgeball, buddy.
So
try to dodge the question here, buddy.
No, it wasn't. I didn't know what you're talking about.
My rankings go as such. I always go a serious movie that's trying to get a point across, number 1, a comedy, number 2, another serious movie, another comedy movie. So it's basically like you have your serious movie category and your comedy movie category. Dodgeball is my number 1 comedy movie of all time. Hands down, no questions asked.
What?
Take that, put it in your pocket. That's just the way it is. It's got all my favorite actors, my favorite plot line, and it's got a funny message. I don't know what you have against it. That's a 13 seed. And Anchorman, you know what? For as many people that think that Anchorman is kind of a drawn-out thing, it also has a message that's really a hard satire on what California news actually is, and I liked it.
I love Anchorman. by the way.
And you Joe put got, it as and, the 15th?
No.
Well,
Joe did. Joe,
this is the reason.
Joe, zip it.
I Joe, would love to hear the argument for both.
Joe seeded the comedy region and the sports region, and I seeded the 90s region and the action adventure region. Which there's problems with mine too. But Joe seeded Anchorman at a 15 is absurd.
Fellowship Look. Of the Ring being a 2 seed versus Castaway as a 15 is kind of wild too.
Is it though? Is it though? Let's
He's missed. Think,
Look, the 2 15s are probably the most off out of all the brackets.
Look, so the thing with the comedy was I tried, and we talked about it because we learned a lot from these brackets. I tried to throw some older ones in there, some spoofs, things like that.
Some spliffs.
I definitely missed. I think that I missed a couple as far as I didn't have Dumb and Dumber in there. There's no Fridays. When I go back and look at it, I mean, even Role Models is to me just one a very funny movie. But
but I don't think that you guys like. I don't think that you guys omitted that many like Wedding Crashers being in there, Christmas Vacation being the one seed. I think I'm okay with because that's like kind of like the all time classic that you hold up on there.
Right.
I think that the bracket is solid. In and of itself, I just think that based on differing of opinion, like from me to you, we're just in totally different stratospheres. Like, I think that if you put this with my age group, like, I think that the seeds are flipped just because of the fact that, like, it's not that the bracket's wrong. I think that, or like, the contenders are wrong. I just think that the seeding is wrong just based off of, like, my generation's version of, you know, entertainment. And that's
well, and there's different types of comedies now versus what they used to be, right? I mean, Spaceballs, Naked Gun, those type of movies, Monty Python and the Holy Grail. I mean, those were like classics. And nowadays, you get the younger generation that don't even really know what those are.
They don't even they don't get them. The dry humor, they don't even get it.
I'm the cutoff on those. Like I still think like my class still thought they were funny. Even if you go to like the graduating class of 2013 from high school, they may not. Like, I think I was like the very last person that thought those movies were funny.
Right. And then as far as the sports region went, I felt like, I mean, there's some people that'll look and say, oh, you took out Hoosiers and Rudy. What are you thinking? Like, I'm a huge football fan, but I never liked Rudy.
I don't like name to be that much either. You know, the two that I think that you're missing right now is Hoosiers and Coach Carter. I don't think I see Coach Carter.
We talked about Coach Carter.
No, it's not in there. No, and we did talk about that. We did have a bunch of basketball ones. I didn't want to load them up with the same sports because you can also go to the he got.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
We are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
A game isn't on there. Any Given Sunday isn't on there.
These are good. These are good movies.
Yeah, they are. And
sports, that's what I said. Sports is loaded. I mean, sports is really like the toughest one because I mean,
I had even Happy Gilmore in there as 11 because I was like, it could easily go in the comedy bracket, right? But it's a sport. But is it really?
I think it leans more towards the golf section, actually.
Yeah.
Is funny because it is a comedy, but what is the story? It's a golfer that was a hockey player, and it's a double entendre there, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
And Caddyshack, and too, though. Same thing. Caddyshack,
too. I wanted to get the Tin Cup in there. Yeah, Caddyshack, same thing. I thought Tin Cup is a pretty good movie, but you can't have three golf movies in there. And of course, Sean needed to have. Days of Thunder in there, so
that's the one that I'm not necessarily following you on that one.
Yeah,
but,
I'm definitely so in the minority.
That was a mandatory one coming from Sean, and I told him that I could have put Talladega Nights up against that, and Talladega Nights would have beat Days of Thunder.
It's probably possible, but still a great movie. All right, let's go on with yesterday's result or today's results from yesterday's bracket. Eight seed Braveheart versus 9 seed Seven. I mean,
believe Braveheart's only an 8 seed. You're killing me, bro.
Braveheart wins though. I picked Braveheart. Tyler,
what was the percentage on that? Was that a bloodbath?
It was pretty bad. 71-29.
Yeah, that's a bloodbath. Yeah,
looks like William Wallace ran through.
Yeah. Obviously, yeah. No, Braveheart's the way to go.
Yeah, Joe obviously went Braveheart. Let's see. 5 seed Silence of the Lambs and 12 seed Sixth Sense. I went Silence of the Lambs. That was another bloodbath, 71-29. Same exact results.
I went Sixth Sense.
Did you really?
Yeah.
It's a cannibal, man. Hannibal the Cannibal.
I see dead people.
That's creepy. Tyler.
So
Tyler's
we're down
never
to,
seen
any
of
those. Where are we at? Sixth Sense versus Silence. Let me see where I voted here. I think I went Silence on this one. I like Silence.
I do too. I mean, it's okay. They started to get a little, you know, too much. But
hey, where's Bad Boys in this '90s bracket anyway?
We already talked about Bad Boys yesterday.
Huge omission.
We talked about this yesterday.
Oh, you know, sorry, Tyler wasn't here yesterday. My bad.
You know what's funny is that I think about this as being like, what's the 2000s bracket? Because like that to me is like my like 90s version of
true,
this.
True, true.
So then I think about like Bad Boys 2 to me, that's Bad Boys 2 I think is probably number 4 on my all-time list as far as as far as a movie goes. So
I like
it better than Bad Boys, but it wasn't a 90s movie, I don't believe.
And we learned a lot from this.
Yeah, I think Bad Boys 2 was 02.
The original Bad Boys is 95.
Yeah. Bad Boys 2 was...
And then, I mean, you know, Titanic. I'm not saying Titanic is, like, my favorite, you know, movie, but... I mean, won so many... I mean, come on.
So what?
Just
it won
it
awards.
Out there. If you're going to throw out E.T., just throw out a Titanic. Come on.
Yeah, E.T. is a wild move. I don't think that anybody in my generation even knows what that movie is.
Oh, come on.
Dude... I hated E.T. I'm not going to lie.
E.T. made me feel uncomfortable the entire plot line. I didn't like it at all. I think that movie is a 0% on Rotten Tomatoes. If any critic even liked that movie, shame on them.
We're not even
Drew Barrymore.
You guys. We're not even discussing that right now. It's not even, you're not even in the right bracket right now.
Oh, okay. Sorry, my bad.
4-seed Private Ryan. 4-seed Private Ryan versus 13-seed Green Mile. Look, both of these are really
too
good
easy.
Movies. It was too easy. I picked Private Ryan too, but I thought the Green Mile was a good movie. The problem with the Green Mile is it's so long. But this is Tom Hanks versus Tom Hanks. So anyway, who'd you pick, Joe? Who'd you pick,
obviously.
Tyler?
I mean, I've never seen Green Mile. Shocker. But. Saving. I mean, come on.
Don't waste the 3.5 hours.
It's not terrible. It's long, though.
It's good, but it's long.
It's really long. 6-seed Shawshank Redemption, 11-seed Schindler's List. Shawshank Redemption killed him. This is the biggest bloodbath on the bracket, on this side of the bracket.
As it should be. This Shawshank Redemption is a 1-seed. And I've seen both of these movies, and they're both good movies. Shawshank, Sean, I want you to do me a favor right now.
Okay. Anything for you, Tyler. Anything for you. Yeah.
Okay. Go to IMDb.
Oh, boy. All right.
Do you know how to spell that, Sean?
L.
And then, hold on. We're going to go to top rated movies underneath the... if you go to the menu page and you click it.
Yeah, top rated movies,
Top rated movies. I want you to see what's number one on that list.
True that. Yeah, The Godfather, it's another one we missed.
Put The Dark Knight in there, but you put Batman 1989.
The number one movie of all time on IMDb is Shawshank. Can you put it as a 6-seed? Are you kidding me?
All right.
Are you kidding me?
So when I texted you the other day and I said, hey, Tyler, do you want to come on the show and trash our bracket? Ha, 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 ha. That was a joke.
It was a joke as long as you were only trashing my bracket. As long as you were only trashing my bracket, then everything was fine. Tyler.
It was a whole lot more fun trashing Joe's side of the bracket than my side.
Oh, yeah. And like I said last night.
It's more personal when it's your end of the bracket, huh?
Yeah. And then, you know, suspiciously, the first two regions shown and voted on were mine, right? Yeah. Okay.
So.
Crazy. That works.
Well, here's a good one I think everybody can agree on. Goodfellas over Fight Club, right? 3-seed Goodfellas. I think I think both of those are seated correctly. Come on. Fight Club, not that great of a movie, man.
What?
Just okay, dude. Just okay. And the polls showed it. Just okay.
Let me ask you, how did the poll actually turn out?
73-27 on Twitter.
Goodfellas?
Yeah.
I didn't see it beating Goodfellas, but I thought it could have been a better rank to have maybe a better chance against another movie.
Yeah.
Full disclosure, Goodfellas was one movie I hadn't watched until a week ago. So I watched it literally last week, and it's on Netflix, and I've seen Fight Club four or five times. I'm a product of the Fight Club era, so I voted for Fight Club because I just saw Goodfellas last week. I don't really get Goodfellas. I mean, I feel like that movie's been done 100 more times, 100 better ways since it's been out.
I mean, that's a good point.
Maybe it was the first of its kind, but literally The Irishman was a better version of the same movie.
The Irishman was very good. Another long movie,
though. The Irishman. Because it's the same cast, it's the same director, it's literally Goodfellas Part 2.
Yeah, it's just a different story. Did you see The Irishman, Joe?
No.
Another 3.5 hours.
Yeah, it's really good, though.
I liked it a lot, actually. I thought it was, and I think that's what was tough, because The Irishman, I think, was Part 2 of Goodfellas, but it was just to me, I watched them out of order. So I watched Part 2 before Part 1, kind of a Bad Boys 2, Bad Boys 1 type of situation, where the sequel's better than the first one, in my eyes.
Yeah, which is rare, because I just watched Jumanji 2, and it was nowhere near as good as Jumanji 1. I'm talking about both the remakes, not the original Robin Williams one, but the one with The Rock. Jumanji 2, not that good, guys.
I don't have to... Yeah, suspend disbelief on that one.
Number seven. Well, here's, I don't know. Maybe this is right up Tyler's alley. Maybe this brings back some memories for you. 7 seed Lion King, 10 seed Toy Story. Toy Story took it through social media. I voted Lion King, though. Got to be honest with you. So I think Lion King's great. The remake is just as good, but obviously just it's the exact same thing, but with better visuals. So. Tyler, was this a movie you watched your parents put on for you when you were, five?
So, both were. Actually, Toy Story was the first movie I went to go see in theaters, apparently. I actually vacated my seat as a youth and went up to the screen to go be a part of it, because I didn't get that it was a movie and that I couldn't actually go be a part of Yeah, I was literally trying to go be a part of it, so... I've seen both about 1,000 times, but I think that at the core of it, I think Toy Story is just a better movie.
Ditto.
Better story.
Okay.
Well, both are far off. I think this is actually probably the closest matchup that we've had so far. I think that this is, both teams are exactly the same. One thing that did it was coaching, and in this matter it's directing or screenwriting. I don't know.
Well, and I think this was one of the first type of Pixar type movies, right?
Yeah, with that type of animation.
With that type of animation versus, right? So I think that might have had something to do with it as well. I believe that was the reason why I actually saw it in theaters too. I mean, I think I was what year was that?
Oh,
I think
Joe,
that was about
98, 99.
I think it was 13. 12, went and saw it with my brothers and my family and stuff. I remember seeing it in the theaters too. And it was the hype was the new animation. 95, okay, I was 12.
95, wow. So I was 1.5. My word.
No wonder you were up there trying to get in.
I was closer to when I was in kindergarten, but no, sheesh.
All right, here's one I totally got wrong, though. I really did, and I underestimated Jurassic Park as a 15 seed. I'll admit it, versus 2 seed Pulp Fiction. Pulp Fiction barely squeaked by on social media, by 86-78, which is close, too close for a 2 and a 15, but Jurassic Park almost pulled it off.
I don't think Jurassic Park's good at all.
I don't either.
So. I don't either. Pulp Fiction ran away with this thing, but I don't know.
I know, right? Because Pulp Fiction on your IMDb, is 8
Jurassic Park. I knew you didn't know how to spell it.
Jurassic Park is nowhere close.
It's not a good movie. I don't know how that. But you know what? You know what's weird is that some people actually like it's a cult following type of movie, and I didn't know that. Like
I didn't
know that it had that much play.
Yeah, I didn't
but it
either.
Apparently it does.
Yeah, which is just
Jurassic
strange.
Park. Jurassic Park was a big deal when it came out.
It was, and that's the thing is that maybe we're underestimating the release date. I don't really know how that goes.
I mean, my thing was the problem with Jurassic Park for me was that they kept making movies. In my opinion, because you don't. I mean,
sometimes you need to just stop.
I mean, money, whatever. But I mean, I just saw the latest one a couple weeks ago. Was okay, but at the end of the day, I mean,
you're gonna come across Pulp Fiction. You think that you're gonna survive?
Oh God, no.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, real quick, the only side that we got finished, we might as well go over it super quick here. Remember, the Titans is going against Varsity Blues, Waterboy against Space Jam, Happy Gilmore against The Sandlot, Caddyshack versus Rocky IV. Oh, we don't have anything totally complete yet. But on the other side in the comedy region, got Christmas Vacation against Wedding Crashers, Groundhog Day versus Dodgeball, Tropic Thunder versus Hangover, which I still got to see, and Tommy Boy versus Anchorman. And if this thing has taught me anything, is that some of the movies on here that I haven't seen, I need to go see.
Which ones haven't you seen in that?
I haven't seen Tropic Thunder. Region? I haven't seen Tropic Thunder.
That's a good one.
Is it?
Yeah. Have you seen Hangover?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I love Hangover. Sure. The first one,
seen Anchorman, Tommy Boy.
Yeah.
But you haven't Dodgeball? Seen
Dodgeball I have seen, man, but I don't remember it. It's a long time. That's an older movie.
It is.
You need to watch Dodgeball, and you need...
Dodgeball's 04, but I will tell you this. It stands the test of time. That's one of the only movies I've ever seen stand the test of time. I've
Christmas
never
Vacation
seen a movie...
is the only classic movie.
...what Dodgeball did. Dodgeball literally made Ben Stiller into a character that supersedes every other character he's ever played in his life. I've never seen cinematic genius like I've seen Ben Stiller play White Goodman in Dodgeball. And I don't mean to under or oversell that, because I think some people would come in and trumpet for Ben Stiller harder than I'm doing right now. So
yeah.
I'm just saying.
And then honestly, in the back and forth with Vince Vaughn was just
unbelievable.
It's hilarious. I mean, that made that whole movie. And it's funny too, because there's a movie, really, it's in the 90s called Heavyweights. I don't know if you've ever seen it. The old movie is about a fat camp. And that was like one of the first movies I saw Ben Stiller. That was like
it's the same iteration
Dwight
of Ben
Goodman.
Stiller.
Yes,
this is the same iteration. Yep. And what is Heavyweights so good about? It's about making sure Ben Stiller is the superstar.
Yeah.
That was
what made that movie. And then it was like Dodgeball was like Dwight Goodman on steroids, basically, from that movie. 100%.
100%. Whoever watched Heavyweights and then made Dodgeball, I love you. I don't know who you are, but I want to tell you that I love you, because they were...
They're probably listening. They probably are.
God willing. But no, I will tell you this. I love Dodgeball. It's something I think that hit me at the right place at the right time, as far as being on the playground, maybe in sixth, seventh grade when that thing came out, or when it you know, breached my eyes, and I was just like, you know what, this is awesome. This is what every junior higher wants to do, is go play in a dodgeball tournament and win and, you know, get the girl and all that stuff. And I thought it was hilarious. And I thought it was a perfect timepiece, you know, for what it was, at least in my life.
Well,
it's kind of the same thing. When Superbad came out, like Superbad was the thing that like hit me at the right place at the right time. And I was literally like a freshman in high school trying to find my way. And it was the same exact thing that happened. And I was like, you know what? Like, I could not have laughed harder at a movie in my life than Superbad, just because like it was as if, you know, the characters on screen were like reading what my dialogue was in real life.
Yeah. That was like my Varsity Blues. Like, I was a freshman, sophomore, and then this Varsity Blues comes out, and I was, you know, I'm like, okay. But, like, Superbad, it had some things where it was just, because I was a little bit older, you know, when I first,
right.
when it came
that
out.
Doesn't
and
really
I'm like,
connect.
Yeah,
that
doesn't really, you know, connect. What I mean?
Was that with McLovin?
But I mean,
was
even
that
with Dodgeball,
one?
Yes, the McLovin one, yeah. Even with Dodgeball, too, Jason Bateman, very underrated. Love that dude.
Yeah, Jason Bateman
he played,
is awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. So I tried to tell Sean that Bad Words is pretty funny. He hasn't seen it yet. I'm trying to get him to watch it, but
oh, I'm
you know what's
watch
funny
it.
About the McLovin thing? real quick, Sean.
What?
Is that, like, the first month I was at Q's, my next door neighbor in my apartment goes, hey, you know, I got a fake ID connected. And I was like, yeah, you know, no problem. Let's do it. And then me, my roommate, like, a couple other people, like, all got fake IDs. And so the first time, and then we got them in from China, literally from China. Mine was from South Carolina. What? I think that's kind of why I still want to move to South Carolina, so I can like compare my real driver's license to my fake South Carolina license. And I go to use my fake ID at Skytop Liquor on, you know, right at the end of Colvin there, or Comstock or whatever it is. And then he goes, oh, yeah, no problem. Let me just see your ID. And the guy behind me was Trevor Cooney, and he was about to check out. And I kind of look back just to, like, look back and just kind of give, like, an exhale of, like, hey, if this doesn't work, you have to be there for me. And just so happened to be Trevor Cooney. And I look back and I kind of gave him the look like, hey, man, are you going to be here for me? Like, if this thing goes bad on this fake ID. And he kind of gives me the look back of being like, I mean, my – whatever I got going on isn't really, you know, the best, but we'll see what happens. And the guy looks at both of us and goes, you guys, I know you guys both play sports, and every time you guys play, I always like watching. And he gave us both our drinks. So we went on our merry way. And then ironically today, I saw the Gonzaga highlight of Trevor Cooney ripping off the ball.
So that Gonzaga. Too.
And it brought me back to that time of, like, the first time I met Trevor Cooney, and one of my really good friends that I have from Syracuse was when we went to go purchase alcohol legally. And that was a funny trip down memory lane today. And I was like, wow, that's crazy.
Did he give you an autographed picture of himself when he first met you?
No, actually, we went out that night and we had a really good time. And then, you know, we remained friends to this day.
Really? That's cool.
Nice.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
You never told me that.
Yeah. No, he's actually a really good friend of mine. I really enjoyed my time spending with him. Had a couple good days together.
He was a fan favorite for a while. He was my oldest son's favorite player during his time at Syracuse. And he got to go down on the court.
As a white guy.
Do what?
40-inch vertical as a white guy, hard to beat.
Yeah.
And when he was hot, but when he was not, he was not.
Well, I told him as I took my trip during the Final Four when we played Michigan, and I told him, I was like, hey, man, you know, on my visit, a lot of people give you shit, and I want you to know that, you know, there's a lot of people that don't believe in you, because I knew that, like, I could kind of get under his, I don't know how I know this stuff, but, like, I looked at him, I was like, hey, you know, you can be a lot better, like, I want you to be a lot better, and then, like, from that day forward, not that I'm taking responsibility, but, like, he got a lot better from his freshman year, you know, kind of right away, so hopefully I kind of, you know, lit a fire under his ass, because, you know, I, again, you know, I'm his friend, but, you know, I really was a big, big Syracuse basketball fan, and I remain to this day. So,
well, that's cool. I never knew that story, so that's kind of neat. Joe, you never heard that, did you? No, of course you didn't.
No,
because I didn't. Well, all right, Tyler, we appreciate you coming on, man. Don't be a stranger. Are you gonna make yourself available for us? I know you're gonna be busy, but. If we ever get rid of this, you know, these sports restrictions, and we got spring ball starting up and we start doing some Syracuse preseason football stuff, you going to join us or what?
Yeah, absolutely. I'll kind of wet your beak real quick on Syracuse football. So I'm just going to show you a little bit about how much I'm invested in the Syracuse football program. I think a lot of people may not know that whether or not I'm coaching let's just say, for whatever, I would never take the University of Pittsburgh job just out of spite to them. I would spurn them. But let's just say I was coaching at UPitt. I'd still want to talk a little bit of Syracuse football. So I've been on the train that this year, unfortunately, as crazy as this is, this kind of seems like the biggest year in recent memory as far as Syracuse football goes. And it sucks that it comes at the cost of, like, this whole virus thing. We get no spring ball because Coach Babers is the guy that we've invested in. We've invested in his program. We've doubled down with giving him an extension. And when you realize that all the things that are kind of stacked up against Coach Babers, it's kind of no wonder why he changed the staff over. You know, in order for him to guarantee, he even took a head coach out of the conference that we were working with at HBU, the Southland Conference, at McNeese State, which was a very good program. So I want to give people the credit of thinking that the new offensive coordinator that we got from McNeese State, Gilbert, he is actually a pretty high IQ guy and a high offensive IQ guy. And he was with Coach, I think, at Bowling Green or at Eastern Illinois. So there is familiarity there. But Coach Babers has kind of went back and said, hey, look, all the chips are on the table for this year. I'm going back to my old staff. And if we don't win, you can start asking questions. But he's kind of laid it all out on the line. You know, he's changed his defense. He's changed a little bit of the offense. He's went to, you know, starting freshman last year on the offensive line. Some of the old familiars are out of here. This is his time. What do you guys kind of feel with this year?
I don't have warm fuzzies about it, to be honest with you.
Neither. It's kind of a all pressure on type of year.
Yeah.
And again, we brought that up the other day and we had talked about it, and we, you know, Sean asked the question and he was like, well, maybe we should have waited for Tyler to talk about it. But I mean, Sean, do you want to ask or
go ahead?
Do you remember?
Go ahead. I don't remember.
With
them having to cancel spring ball and everything like that, with a program like Syracuse coming off of kind of a disappointing season, and you had, you know, your freaking star quarterback was on and off hurt the entire year, and you got a couple of these new players coming in, and you've got the spring camp for them is very important, as it is for every team, but with Syracuse especially, it seems like them losing this time I feel like they are already going to be behind, and them losing this spring training stuff or the spring camp stuff is just going to be that much worse compared to some of the other teams.
So I'm not exactly sure offhand, like how many ACC programs turned over coaching staffs. I know FSU did. Clemson's never going to have to for as long as they want to. You know, some of the familiars, NC State, Pitt didn't. So I'm just seeing, you know, as the list goes on, I see fewer and fewer teams, you know, UNC, Duke's never going to turn over their coaching staff. You know, so the more I go down this, you know, Georgia Tech's another year older, another year is wiser. Miami, same coaching staff. So, but they did change their assistant. So, you know, maybe there's one school that's kind of close to us in that regard. But how do you, I guess, rhetorical question that I'm coming back to is, how do you make your incumbent players better without playing games? Spring and fall camp. How do you make freshmen better? Just introduce them to college. That's it. They'll raise their game by association of seeing how the college game is played. Like with me, when I understood the speed in which the college game was played, I realized that my best play in high school has to be every play in D1. So then I had to turn my motor up a gear. Okay, so that's fine. Whatever. You know, if you're good enough, you can kind of make that switch and then you'll get in better shape and yada, 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 or whatever mental gymnastics you want to do to justify that. But in order to make your incumbent players better, the guys that are going from juniors to seniors, sophomore to juniors, how do you make those guys better? You got to spend time with them. You got to nurture them. You got to show them the mistakes that they made on film and prove it to them on why your scheme makes more sense than what they're believing in their head. And without spring ball, that's a detriment to every program across America. The ones that it's not really a big problem for are Clemson, because they have everybody that they need coming back. And then Ohio State, same thing. They got everybody that they need coming back. Alabama, maybe a little bit, but they're still going through quarterback turnover. LSU's going through quarterback turnover. I mean, even the teams that are in the college football playoff need spring ball. There's only a couple teams in the country that don't. So I think that maybe if you were to guess, like, hey, you know, how does this help our division a little bit? Is that FSU also doesn't get spring ball? But really, other than that, it's like the entire rest of the schedule. BC is another one.
So you
it's
think,
like, okay, well, you know,
you think it levels the playing,
you know,
field then?
Coaching change.
You think it's, you think
I'm
it's equal across
levels
the board?
The playing field. Yeah.
Really? Okay.
I do.
All right. Well,
but because it's only because how many players know exactly what their coaches want them to improve on without asking their coach? I'd say about 5%. The guys that are going to play in the NFL.
Right. Yeah, and we had talked about it, and my answer was basically that every team usually needs spring practice. Every once in a while, you get those teams that overachieve. Some of the players think that they're, you know, they don't have to work on too much going into the next year, but I'm sure coaches kind of rein them in. But when you change both offensive coordinators and you're changing a whole scheme and a whole, as far as defense goes, then that's a little bit more than just a nurture. That's a, they have to learn their new duties on the field, right?
Right, their new nature.
Right, exactly. So, yes, I mean, it is nurturing them in that, but also it's learning a whole new technique. And sometimes if you're using this, if you're running the same scheme, it's basically like, hey, you just got to change your technique. Like, you're right there. You know what you need to do. You just got to change a couple things here and there, and then you can kind of massage that into making them a better player.
Right.
But when you're changing a whole 4-3 to a 3-3-5, where you're talking about terminology, positions, yeah, everything is changing, that's tough to not be on the field. So not saying that that nobody needs spring practice. I mean, spring practice helps everybody, but when you're going through those changes, that definitely does not make anything easier. All they got's a playbook, right? At this point.
Yeah. That's the thing. Yeah. And I mean,
To be honest, is like, that's how you kind of find out like who your actual guys are. Like Marquise Lee, when he went from Sarah High School to USC, he started as a true freshman and was a breakout guy. I mean, he was an All-American. And the reason why, and I played against him in high school, and he wasn't that good. Like, he wasn't, you know, the guy that was going to be an All-American 3 years in a row for USC and then make it to the NFL as a, you know, a very, very high. I think he was 33rd overall, so the first pick in the second round. He went to USC and he stuck his nose in the playbook and didn't stop until he memorized every single play and could tell it to you backwards and forwards. Those are the guys that are going to be your difference makers. I don't know how many guys we have at Syracuse right now that are going to be those type of guys. I want to be proven wrong, and that's what I keep trusting Coach Babers for. And I think that we're starting to recruit those guys that have the, you know, the IQ, but need to be brought along a little bit further physically. So hopefully fall camp will be the time where we can kind of groom the physical aspect, but hopefully I trust in Coach Babers to have the IQ side down so that he can go, you know, just send out the plays on the iPad and say, hey, if you don't have this memorized, just forget it. You know, and I hopefully that he can put that hammer down.
Right.
Because I think he has that program.
Well, and fall camp's a completely different story, right? I mean, I've done about three quarters of a fall. No, you come in as an incoming freshman. They hand you the playbook, and they start right up. They go.
Yeah,
they have guys from before.
Nobody's waiting on you. They don't want you.
You have this. Yeah. Nope. You have this playbook, and it's up to you to figure it out, or you're just going to be standing on the sidelines because they're going. They're getting ready for the season, and it's very, very fast and intense.
Yeah, it's
it's overwhelming, really, is what it is. But so it definitely slows down, but again, you got to be ready for that kind of stuff. And sometimes, you know, that speed sometimes slows, because there's high school programs, depending on where you come from, that are more comparable to college programs versus not, right? Sure. So where I was coming from in a high school in Syracuse, not very comparable, you know. I go down to Division II school in West Virginia, where players are coming from all over the place, and these guys had high schools that were way more closer to college programs than me, and that stuff was overwhelming, man, for sure.
Right. And that's where you hope, like, a McKinley Williams or, like, a Josh Black that have been on the D-line already, that they don't need too much. You know, it's like, hey, you know, I know that you lined up in a three last year. Just go one shade over and then, you know, do the same assignment. Like, that's easy stuff that you can kind of, you know, and that's where it's like, okay, you know, it's going to be a little bit more patched together. The linebackers, again, are the ones that are turning over, and it's like, you know, and those are the skills.
Again.
That's like, we'll see. You know, I think that but, you know, if they get it year one, then it's like, now we're setting a new floor. Now it's like, okay, well, now we're here, and then we have to, you know, start building into that top tier. So it kind of comes with the two-sided thing. It's like, okay, either we're going to suck or we're going to be great. You know, I don't know. There's really no middle ground anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully our players have the motivation to get in the playbook and say, hey, we're going to do it ourselves. Coronavirus is here. We don't got spring practice, but I don't think they want to have another fight.
Right.
You know,
I don't think they do that. I think they got enough. I think they got enough returners to kind of, you know, push this thing into overgear. We'll see. I was really, really fortunate to have Marquise Spruill and Cam Lynch, Jay Bromley, all three guys that played in the NFL to kind of guide me through my time in the offseason. That was not even close to a coronavirus type of offseason. So
no,
I don't really like, again, I had three NFLers tell me what to do. I don't know what's going to happen this year, but I know that a guy like Cisco, a guy like Trill Williams, you know, among others, are going to have an idea of what is going to be trying to be done, because, you know, it doesn't get limited. Is FaceTime with coaches, playbook analysis with coaches, you know, so it's like that doesn't have to go anywhere. That can still be done. You know, we were doing a little bit of that at HBU anyway. So I think it's possible. But again, I'm not trying to take too much of your time because I like football. I'll keep talking all day, but I'm just excited. Yeah. I mean, it's a good time to be alive.
Yeah, hopefully, you know, hopefully we can, you know, start seeing sports again. That's the tough part for me, to be honest with you. I think it's the tough part for everybody.
The 1 year the Lakers were good, they had to take them away from me.
Yeah, well, you got the NBA. You got the NBA. Sean's got NASCAR. I got all sports all together that I'm just upset about. And
I was pretty upset about Syracuse lacrosse, obviously basketball. I mean, we don't, obviously basketball, but the Syracuse lacrosse team was going to be something to hang your hat on this year, I feel like, and they got
robbed. Well, they won the title, right? I mean, they finished number one.
Yeah.
Did we get the trophy this year?
Yeah, right? That's what we said. I mean,
so I said
when I saw that post, I was like, I think we won. Like, I think we actually won the title. This is awesome.
Yep. Frozen in time.
So until we go back, Joe and I are going to try to throw out the podcast, whether they be, you know, 20 minutes or really freaking long like this one.
Sorry.
It's been, hey, it does not.
Tyler can see her and we'll,
I know,
we'll talk football forever.
I know.
You wait for your NASCAR and your summer.
Hey,
yeah, I know.
It is all good. I enjoy listening to it. I'm sure everybody else does too.
I think I saw you fall asleep.
That is not true. I listened and learned. So
I think that there's a couple rollovers from the Trademark podcast that might, you know, stay the entire length of time. I don't know though. Who knows? I don't know.
Well, your shows, a lot of your shows are evergreen.
Some aren't, but
a lot of them are. A lot of them are basic, not stuck in time type things. Not basic, but it's like,
I really tried season two. I really tried to make that happen because I realized like there's a difference between like going day to day news and then like only having it being relevant like that day to being like, oh wait, actually, if Justin Barron is a commit and he's going to be a senior in high school today, that means he's a senior in college potentially 5 years from now. That could still be like relevant from like every year. Yeah. So that helped.
Right.
You know, and that's kind of common sense that as you get a little bit older, a little wiser, it helps. I don't know. Who knows?
If you, do you still have an account to upload to?
Not really, no.
Okay.
I'd have to go back and open up the wallet and start doing that.
Right. Well, so. But here's I mean, we've already kind of talked about this, but if you have time and you wanted to get down and do something, all you got to do is send me the file. I'll throw it up on our platform. You know that.
I just don't know where I'd even go. I think the only thing I could possibly do is just talk to you guys, but have it be something that I don't know. I feel so like distant from that world now. It feels good to be back on the air with you guys.
Well, good. You know, you're welcome back anytime. Look, we're going to have you back, obviously, once everything gets settled. It was great having you again. Thanks for coming on, bro. We appreciate it. Keep voting on the movie Madness. Okay. Maybe there's something.
I voted on every single one so far.
Okay. Well, we appreciate it. And if it does okay, maybe there's another one coming. Who knows? There's another one coming. So one question real quick though, because I had this at the beginning of my notes, but what is your all-time favorite movie right now? I know sometimes it changes, but right now, if you had to pick one, what would it be?
I think it's still Shawshank. I still have that kind of number one overall.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it is. Because I'll put it this way. After I watched that movie from start to finish with no interruptions, I said, that's number one overall. I don't care what anybody else says. And I haven't felt that way about a movie since.
Okay.
So I think that kind of makes it feel that way. There's a lot of movies. God, there's a lot of. I don't want to upset you guys when I say this. There's a lot of good movies out there.
I know. No, we missed some for sure. I saw a couple earlier when you had that IMDb thing come up. I saw The Departed. I'm like, oh, The Departed.
That's a...
Yeah, you could do that all day, though, Joe. We can't beat ourselves up about it.
It's out there.
Yeah, it is what it is. We haven't had too many complaints about missing movies, so I'll take it. People are just.
I think you, like I said, I think the bracket was solid overall. I just think the seating was a little bit like kind of thrown together.
Yeah, Joe. Totally.
Yep.
I agree, Tyler.
Fascinating, Joe.
All right, that's it. We love you, Tyler. Thanks for coming back on. You know you're welcome anytime. Thank you, Simply Safe. Thank you, LinkedIn. Thank you to everybody who's actually, if you're still listening right now, you are a super fan. You are a Cuse Militia super fan. We appreciate you. For James on guitar, I'm Sean. We're out.
Thanks for listening to the Cuse Militia podcast, the fan's voice with Sean and Joe.